Acts chapter 16. And I want to read just a few verses if you're able to stand and as we read the Word of God today. Acts chapter 16. And I want to start reading in verse number 16. Acts chapter number 16 and verse 16. You'll find the context of the scripture that I'm reading. Paul has come now to Macedonia. He's had his first convert there, a woman by the name of Lydia, seller of purple. And here in verse number 16, the Bible said this, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Father, we thank you today for the reading of your precious word. Lord, we pray today that you would help us now in this service. God, without your touch, God, I cannot preach. Without your aid, God, there will be nothing done of any benefit here today. Father, I pray today that you'd speak to hearts in this place. Lord, you know the varying needs and you know the burdens that are has arrested hearts here today. And Father, I pray that you would help us all, Lord, that we might receive some help from your word today in this place. And Lord, if there's one here that's unsaved, I pray, God, would you speak to them today? And Father, would you draw them by the power of the Holy Ghost unto salvation? And Father, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus that we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated today. Here in the Word of God, I have read a very familiar story in the Word of God. Everybody at some point in time has heard the story of Paul and Silas being cast into jail. And here's the scene. The Bible said Paul and Silas have been witnessing, telling people about Jesus. And a woman came by. She's possessed with a spirit of divination. You do understand that just because the work of God's being done don't mean ain't going to be some people come and hang around that don't have a right spirit. Amen. And here in the scene, there's a lady that has come, and she has a spirit of divination. And Paul apparently lets it go on for a little while, but after a while, he gets aggravated with it, and he casts the spirit out of this woman. Those who had been making merchandise and been, I'm talking about making money off her, got upset, and they got mad because the preacher messed up some things in their life. Let me tell you something, a real preacher will mess up some things in your life, amen. I mean, he'll tear your little playhouse up sometimes.
And here's the scene. The Bible said that when they saw that their hope of their gains was gone, they decided to bring in some charges, and they brought the magistrates, and they said, I'll tell you what we're going to do, throw this crowd in jail. Them two preachers, we're going to get them out of our sight, and we're going to get them out of our way. And the Bible said that they put them in prison. Now this is where I really want to go with this. The Bible said this, that they charged the jailer to keep them safely. And the Bible said that the jailer, when having such a charge, the Bible said he thrust them into the inner prison. I began to think about that very phrase one day, the inner prison. In studying the Word of God, if you study in Bible days, many times the jail, the prison was a place. They would put them on the inside. It was in the middle part of the jail. And many times it wasn't like a jail like we know today, but it was a pit that was in the ground many times. It was a place that's kind of like a dungeon, if you will, in the center of the jail. And they'd take those prisoners, those hardened criminals, and they'd put them down in that place, a place of darkness, a place of dampness, a place where there was no communication. I'm talking about they throw them down in that inner prison, in that place, a low point, if you will, in the jail. Amen. And here's the scene. The Bible said they ripped Paul and Silas' clothes off of them. And the Bible said they beat them with many stripes. Let me tell you something right now. The devil wants to do his best to beat you up today. He's doing a good job of beating up God's people in these days. And they didn't stop with beating them up. They decided they wanted to lock them up. The Bible said they put their feet fast in the stocks. They beat them up and they locked them up. But thank God they didn't shut them up. Amen. I don't know about you. Praise God. I tell you one thing right now. The devil may beat you up. He may even bind you and lock you up. But thank God, as long as you've got a voice, you ought to give God praise. Amen. I begin to think about that phrase, the inner prison. I said today, as I come in this building today, as far as I could tell, nobody came in with ankle chains on. Nobody came in, as far as I can tell, wearing the Georgia State-issued uniform in the prison system. Nobody came in today that I could tell that had handcuffs on. But can I promise you today, there's probably people sitting in this pew today, in this place today, that are bound by an inner prison. I'm talking about something on the inside of you that's got you bound up and locked up and beat up, and it's just got you to the point you're ready to give up. I got news for you. Praise God, you can have a jailbreak today. Amen. I'm glad God can set you free today. Hallelujah to His name. I'm preaching on this subject today on breaking free from your inner prison. You say, preacher, what is it about the inner prison we need to know? First of all, the inner prison was a place of intimidation. They didn't put everybody in the inner prison, but they wanted to prove a point with these preachers. They said, we're going to put them in the inner prison. We're not just going to put them in a regular cell. We're going to throw them down in the hole. We're going to get them down there. We're going to make a spectacle of them. We're going to intimidate them. Let me tell you something right now. The devil is a bully. The devil is, I'm talking about, he's an adversary. He wants to intimidate you. He wants to stop you from doing what you're doing. Amen. He wants to get you to the place that you feel like you've been forsaken. Amen. But hallelujah, I'm glad, praise God, when the devil tries to intimidate us, I'm glad there's a God that just loves on us. Amen. And helps us in our time of need. It was not only a place of intimidation, it was a place of isolation. I mean, they put these fellows down in a hole by themselves. You do know that that's where the devil wants to think you're at today, all alone. They can't see nobody else. They don't even know how many more is in the jail. They're down in a hole in the dark, beat up. I mean, their clothes rent off of them, and they're down there, and you ever felt alone, you'll feel alone then. But let me tell you something right now. That's what the devil wants to convince all of us, that we are alone. He wants to beat up every preacher, make him feel like he's alone. Ain't nobody else going through what they're going through. I got news for you. There's a lot of folks going through heartaches. There's a lot of folks going through trouble. But there's a God that knows all about it. And I'm glad He's able to help us in our time of need. Amen. There's a place of intimidation, a place of isolation, and it was a place of immobilization. And I mean, locked their feet up. There's some symbolism there in what the Bible says about how beautiful are the feet of those I mean, why didn't they put handcuffs on them? You know what the devil's saying? He said, boys, I'm stopping you dead in your tracks. You ain't taking another step. You know what? He said, you ain't moving no more. There's a lot of folks today in our churches, the devil has put them in an inner prison and they can't move like they one time did. I had a dear lady, she attends our church some on Sunday mornings. She called me one day. I'd never had a phone call quite like this. And she had a lot of problems, her and her family. And I felt sorry for her. I prayed with her and I tried to encourage her. And that day on the phone, she said this to me. She said, preacher, she said, I want you to pray for me. She said, I've got some needs. And she said, preacher, every Sunday morning when you preach, you give the invitation at the end of the service. Preacher, you always close the invitation after folks have come to the altar. Something like this. You always pray, Lord, would you bless those that should have come today? And Lord, would you keep dealing with them? Would you keep speaking to their hearts? And she said, preacher, every Sunday you pray that, you're praying that about me. She said, every time you preach, every time the invitation's given, she said, I know I need to come to the altar. She said, I want to come to the altar. But she said, preacher, there's sometimes I wonder if I could make it all the way to the altar. And then when she said that, she said, preacher, she said, I want to ask you something. She said, if the Lord was to ever touch your heart during the service and during the invitation and really speak to your heart, preacher, you think you could come back to my pew where I'm at and help me get to the altar? I never had nobody ask me nothing like that. I said, Lord, help! I said, sis, I said, I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. I said, if God touches my heart, I'll do it. We was in the services a couple of weeks after that at the church. And I mean, things are starting to break out. Folks are getting blessed. People come to the altar like we had here today. And I looked back, man, she was back there and just weeping, but she wasn't moving. And I was praying. I said, oh God, maybe this is the day you want me to go back and help this lady. She needs some help, God. And about the time I prayed that prayer and that thought came to my mind, I looked and here she come down the aisle on that side. But she didn't make it all the way to the altar. She fell down on her knees in the aisle, about right back here. And I looked up, I said, some of our ladies, I said, Miss Elaine didn't make it to the altar, but that don't mean the altar can't make it to her. And they gathered around her that day and they went to pray and amen. And the next thing you know, praise God, she got up and she had a smile on her face. You know why? Because the devil done immobilized her, had done put her in a place she couldn't move. But thank God, I'm glad you can have a jailbreak today. I'm glad you can be set free today. Hallelujah to His name. Say, preacher, what was revealed in the inner prison to Paul and Silas? Number one, an inner strength was revealed. What do you mean by that, preacher? Some of y'all think you're pretty strong. Some of y'all think you got it all together. But you really don't know strength until you've come to the place, you've reached the lowest point of your life. I'm talking about you hit rock bottom. You're down in a hole, beat up in the dark. Ain't nobody knows where you're at. Nobody cares about you. And all of a sudden you're down there in a hole. Let me tell you something right now. Hey, if there's ever a day you want to start reevaluating your career choice, it's then, amen. If there's ever a day you want to chart a different course in life, it's then. But I'll tell you, old Paul and Silas, at the lowest point they'd ever been, praise God, they're down in a hole and they begin to pray and begin to sing and thank God for what He's done. Amen. Sometimes you really find out what strength is when you think you ain't got none. Because when you're exhausted of your strength, God gives you His. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. When you're beat up and when you're down and out and you can't pick yourself up, you find something on the inside of you picking you up. Hallelujah. David said He's the lifter of my head. I'm glad when I can't look up, I'm glad He lifts my head. Praise God. I'm glad I found an inner strength. They found an inner song in the inner prison. Now, I don't know how your King James Bible reads. I think it reads the same as mine. But I don't see anywhere in there where Paul had a song book with him. I mean, they didn't get thrown in jail with a songbook with them. There wasn't nobody there with a projector flashing a praise and worship chorus on the wall, one of them 7-11 songs, 7 words sung 11 times. There wasn't none of that taking place in the inner prison. But all of a sudden, in the darkest midnight hour you've ever seen, Paul and Silas sitting there, I could almost hear them talking to one another in the dark. The Bible said they had to call for a light. They can't see nothing. It's midnight. They're down in a hole, beat up, locked up. I could hear old Paul say, Silas, you there? Yeah, Paul, I'm over here. Silas, are you hurt bad? I can hear him say, Paul, that fella roughed me up pretty bad, man. I'm in bad shape. How about you, Paul? He said, yeah, I'm hurting pretty bad too, Silas. I can hear him say, what do you think we'll do, Paul? Paul says, you know, I've kind of got a song on my heart. What is it, Paul? What is that song? It's a song that comes out of the inner prison. It's the sweetest song when you've reached the bottom, when you've thrown up your hands and said, God, I can't do it no more. And God starts singing a melody in your soul, amen, brings you from the lowest point you've ever been, amen, and takes you, praise God, into the presence and the glory of Almighty. I'm glad, hallelujah, praise God, that you'll find your song in the inner prison. Several years ago, I was going through some battles like every pastor does. Sometimes we get this idea that it's a Mayberry world. Everything's perfect in it. Preacher, I rolled up here yesterday and saw all this around here, and I saw how God's blessings were evident on this place, and this looks like a picture postcard. Matter of fact, just at a glance, you'd say, man, them people got it all together. And them people ain't fighting no battles. Man, you talk about where God's at, right here it is. But I got news for you. When you pull back the postcard, you understand that where God's doing something, there's going to be a devil that's fighting it every step of the way. Amen. But I'm glad, praise God, that when you get down and it feels like you can't go on, there's going to be an inner song come out of your heart, amen, that's going to bless somebody else, amen. I was going through some battles a few years ago, and it was one of them resigning Mondays. That's what I call them, resigning Mondays. After you've struck out on Sunday, you feel so low on Monday. And you write out your resignation. I got a whole stack of them at the house. I ain't never turned one in yet. Been there 17 years. But one of these days, I'm going to take the whole stack and just give it to them, praise God. I was fighting devils and demons and hell and Baptists and everything else. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between devils and demons and Baptists. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between them. And I was there that day, I was so discouraged, and it's almost like the devil said, you know, won't you quit what you're doing? Why are you giving yourself high blood pressure with this mess? Why are you putting your family through this? And all of a sudden, at that low point, I said, well, devil, this is all I got to say. And I walked over to the piano, and I sat down, and I started penning the words to a song. Some people, they question why I serve the Lord. What a mess since Jesus came in. They say I'm not with it, that I'm missing out on this world and the pleasures of sin. But I'd like to tell you that I'm saved with no doubt since Jesus took away all my shame. And if I could change it, I surely would not. I'd do it all over again. Sometimes when I'm facing the trials of this life, oh, Satan says, won't you resign? Just lay down your armor, don't mention his name, and I'll give you everything you desire. Then I get to thinking what the Lord's done for me. Pick me up, put his joy deep within. I forever missed that eternal fire. Praise God, I'd do it again. I'd do it all over again. Trade a life filled with sorrow and the sadness of sin for a life that's eternal where joy's never end. I'd do it all over again. I'm glad, praise God, when you've reached the lowest point, you'll find an inner song, amen. They found an inner strength. They found an inner song, and they found an inner summit. What do you mean by that, preacher? Here they are in a hole. They are in a low place. The lowest point in this story, they're in it. In the dark, in a hole. But something happened to them that can only happen to a child of God. A low point turns into a mountaintop. Do you really think that after they got out of jail that Paul and Silas looked back as that being a low point in their life? You remember, Paul, when we was down there in that jail, boy, that's the lowest we've ever been. No, they looked back and Paul said, Silas, you remember that day we had a jailbreak? You remember that day when the Holy Ghost shook the bars? Hey, you remember that day when he saved that old jailer down there? I'll tell you one thing right now. God's the only one that can take your low spot. He can take your low place and turn it into a mountaintop. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, in your inner prison, you'll find your inner summit. Amen. You say, preacher, how in the world can I break out of my inner prison? I'm going to give you this and I'm done today. You got to remember this. Number one, if you're going to break out of your inner prison, you got to have some determination in the darkness. Anybody can shout when you're people getting saved and running the aisles and everybody's praising God. You let them strip you off in public, beat you till you can't hardly stand up, lock your ankles up, drop you in a pit in the dark, and then we'll see how much shout you got in you. But all of a sudden, old Paul and Silas said, you know what? Silas may have even said, I don't know, and he may have said, Paul, boy, I tell you, I don't know, Paul, about this deal. Maybe we shouldn't have come over here. What do you reckon we'll do when we get out of here, Paul? I could almost hear Paul saying, well, Silas, you know, as they're arresting us and bringing us down through here, we passed by a street corner up there and said, the best I could tell, that'd be an awful good place to preach when we get out of here. I mean, he ain't writing no resignation. He said, you know what? I believe that'd be about the best place I've ever seen to preach up there, Silas. And Silas said, you know what I was thinking? The same thing. Right up there, praise God, right up there in the main square would be a good place when we get out of here. Let me tell you something right now. If you're going to get out of your inner prison, you're going to have some determination. In these days, people, I tell you what, they want to quit, throw up their hands. They want to find another way, find another path. Let me tell you something right now. The best thing you can do, if you're in a low spot and you're in a darkness today, just trust God and have determination in your darkness. Amen. I remember a few years ago, I'd been in a string of revival meetings about 7 or 8 weeks straight. And I was wore down. I got home late one night and my family had already went to bed and I was kind of winding down and it was time to go to bed. It was in the summer months and I was turning off the lights in the house. And I turned them all off and I was walking down the hallway towards our bedroom in the dark. I was just walking in the pitch darkness. And all of a sudden there was a flash of light in front of my face. And I thought, am I seeing things? What is that? And then all of a sudden there it was again. And I recognized what it was. There was a little old lightning bug had got in the house. Now, y'all know what a lightning bug is. I'm in the South. Yeah, y'all know. Now, northern folks, they don't understand the terminology, lightning bug. I used this illustration in a meeting one time, and a little lady came up to me, and I clarified it. A little lady came up to me after the service. She said, oh, preacher, I'm so glad that you clarified what a lightning bug was. She said, I'm from Minnesota, and I didn't know what a lightning bug was. If you're from up north, it's a firefly to you. But the southern folk, it's a lightning bug. And that little old lightning bug would flash, flash, flash. I got to watching that little old rascal. I got the biggest blessing going down the hall in the dark. I said, you know, that little old bug's in the same darkness I'm in. But it ain't bothering him near as bad as it is me. Because he's got the ability to create his own light. And then I thought, he's got light in him. And then I really got a blessing. When I got to thinking about the day Jesus saved me. When he put the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how you can go to a hospital bed of a little saint that's getting ready to cross over, body racked with pain, and instead of you encouraging them, they encourage you, praise God, because of that light, that determination in the darkness. Hallelujah to his name, amen. If you're going to break out of your inner prison, you're going to have some determination in your darkness. Number two, you need to understand this. You have a direct line to the throne of God. I could hear old Paul and Silas sitting down there in the hole talking. They're beat up. They've prayed a little bit. They're beat up. All of a sudden, Paul says, Silas, did they read you your Miranda rights? No, Paul, they didn't. Silas says, Paul, did they mention to you anything about that one phone call we're supposed to get? I'm using your imagination a little bit there. No, they didn't say nothing about no phone call. Matter of fact, they're by law required if they arrest you to give you one phone call. I read a story about this. This is something. They said that with the advent of the cell phone age, that people don't memorize phone numbers like they used to back when nobody had a cell phone. And said there are actually a lot of people having difficulty now when they arrest them. They won't let you use your cell phone to call. You got to have a number in your head that you can call. And by the looks of some of y'all, y'all to memorize a number today of somebody you trust. Because you may need it real. I mean, it may be soon you need it. I mean, some... Just go ahead and get... Don't memorize your preacher's number. Whatever you do, don't memorize the preacher's number. Whatever you do. But they said to people having trouble with that. But I can imagine old Paul and Silas. Silas says, what do you think we'll do, Paul? Paul says, you know what? I can call Jesus anytime. And He's always on the line. And the Bible said they began to pray. And at midnight, God shook the foundations of the jail. Now this is an unusual earthquake. In that all that it does is open the doors and loose chains. Now, when's the last time you heard about an earthquake like that? You know, a few years ago when all these supermarkets got them automatic doors and everybody just marveled, they just kind of stood and looked, you know. You know, it's kind of like I heard that old country fella had went to a mall. He'd never been in a mall. He had his little boy with him and walked up and there's an elevator there and he'd never seen one, didn't know what it was. And all of a sudden this older looking feeble woman walked up and punched a button and the door opened. And she walked on and it shut and he just stood there and watched it and the numbers all went up. He watched them come back down. In a few minutes, when the doors opened, this beautiful young lady stepped out of it. Old feller punched his boy, said, go get your mama. Go get your mama, man. But you know, everybody marveled at those doors swinging open like that. Let me tell you something. God was in that business a long time before Piggly Wiggly ever had them. All because they had a direct line to God. You say, preacher, how am I going to break out of my inner prison? Have determination in your darkness. Understand you got a direct line to God. And last of all, remember this. You have to decide what you're going to focus on. In your darkness. Today I can focus on you all. I can see you all because it's light in here. It's light enough till I can even focus. I can focus on folks up here on top. But if we was down in a pit at midnight in the total dark, I can't see nothing. And I have to make a conscious decision on what am I going to focus on. Now, Paul and Silas made the right decision. They could have did this. They could have said, you know, what am I going to focus on down here? I'm beat up. Maybe I could focus on the one that hurt me. Maybe I could just sit down here and seethe over the fact that fella beat me up for no reason. Maybe I could just sit down here and marinate in my bitterness at all that's happened to me for no reason. There's a lot of Baptist folk that are sitting home today, not in the house of God, because they chose to focus on somebody that hurt them. Somebody said this, somebody done that, somebody didn't do something, and I'm just going to sit and focus on that negative in my life. The thing about it is, they're sitting there in the darkness and said, I'll tell you what, let's focus on. Let's get our eyes on Jesus, Silas. That old boy that beat us up, he's just doing what a lost man does. And I could hear him down there singing and praying. And the Bible said the prisoners heard them. Can you imagine them old boys that's in jail? I mean, they're trying to go to sleep. It's midnight. And all of a sudden, up coming out of a hole in the middle of the jail, in a pit, they hear singing and praying. And I tell you what, it was such a Holy Ghost meeting that when the doors flung open, hey, one of them moved. Now, that's an odd deal right there, buddy. I promise you, you go down to the prison today and some kind of electrical malfunction that causes all the doors and all the gates to open, that it's going to be, the guards are going to be hard pressed to keep all that crowd in there. But the Holy Ghost ain't got a bit of problem of arresting the heart of a man. The Bible said that old jailer, he looked up and he thought they're going to kill me. I might as well just go ahead and do it myself. Paul said, hey, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And he called for a light and sprang in this. I want you to look. The Bible said he came in trembling. When's the last time you've seen somebody tremble under Holy Ghost conviction? I'm talking about tremble. And the Bible said he fell down and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Have you ever had one of them moments? I'll give you this illustration. I'm done. Last year, we had a man that came to our church. He was invited. A fellow in our church is a real estate agent. He sold him a piece of property, a house. And I didn't know anything about this man, but he invited him because he was his neighbor. He said, invited him to church. When he got to church that morning, this member of my church, he came and said, preacher, I invited this man to church. He said, I need to warn you. He said, he's a lifelong Roman Catholic. He's from upstate New York. I said, and he's here in a little hillbilly mountain church. How did that man get here? And I said, but you know, we'll love him and we'll try to. And that morning I said, oh Lord, please. My Sunday school teacher, brother Colton's daddy, young preacher in our church. I said, Lord, he's going to be in Revelation. He'll get on the great whore. Or he'll get on the Catholic Church or something. And I said, Lord, please, if you could just help him today, not to get on that today. Lord, would you just help him? It's bad when you're having to pray. And this old boy, he had never been in a Baptist church in his life. Later found out what he did for a living. He's a chemist that designs drugs to bring to the marketplace. Matter of fact, he'd been working for the last several years on a drug for epilepsy that just has gotten FDA approval to go worldwide. Him and his wife, both of them are scientists, in a little hillbilly country church down by the creek. You've been there. Praise God. And this old boy, though, he came and he'd never seen nothing like it. He sat there and I could see the Holy Ghost working on him. He kept coming. I was in a revival meeting at a little country church in Wilkesboro, North Carolina. He found out about it. He said, preacher, he was living in Durham, North Carolina, which is about three and a half hours away. He said, preacher, can I meet you at that church for revival? I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to drive up from Durham. I said, sure. He got up there at night and God was working on him. He said, now preacher, I'm going to be up in Boone tomorrow night. And said, I'll tell you what, can I drive you to revival? I thought to myself, here I am, a Baptist preacher, being chauffeured to a revival meeting by a Roman Catholic. I said, word's going to get out, I've went ecumenical. That night we went in the church and none of them people, they thought he was a member of my church and they was all going, hey brother, how you doing? Praise God, glad to have you here tonight. And all the while, God was working on that old boy. We went to eat at a Mexican restaurant after church and we're sitting there. He had that look on him, man. He was its Holy Ghost had done God all up in his soul. He's sitting there just as serious as he could be. We're just making small talk and the other brother's sitting there and he looked at me point blank and he said this, Brother Ken. He said, Brother Leonard, what does a man have to do to be saved? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I looked at him and I could have probably tried to lead him to the Lord right there at the table. But you see, that's the Holy Ghost's business. It ain't mine. I can't save nobody, but I sure can tell him. I said, Tim, I know God's been dealing with you. And I said, if you at any time, if you feel like you want me to pray with you want me to show you. I said, first of all, Tim, you've got to believe the gospel. You've got to believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, was buried, and rose again. He looked at me and said, I've believed that all my life. I said, no doubt you have. Even in Roman Catholicism, they'll tell you that much. But I said, Tim, there's a difference between believing here and believing here. He just shook his head. He said, I'll let you know. I said, that's all right. A couple days later, on Saturday morning, at 7 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang. That old boy's weeping. I'm talking about a brilliant man. I'm talking about a scientist. I'm talking about a brilliant man. And he was weeping on the other end of the line. He said, preacher, I wanted to come and tell you what happened last night. He said, I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning. And he said, I found out what unconditional love was last night. And he said, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior last night. Wasn't long, his wife, she's from England, his wife got under conviction. Lifelong Roman Catholic too. I just baptized her about 3 weeks ago. Gloriously saved by the grace of God. Tell you know how that happened? Praise God. Somebody setting their eyes on Jesus. I got news for you tonight. You may be here today and you've never been saved by the grace of God. Boy, today would be a good day for you to come to know Him. Breaking free from your inner prison. Let's bow our head today. Heads bowed and eyes closed today.